But I think that's an important thing that I'd like listeners to think about, in that you embark on something like this. It doesn't have to be podcasting. It could be private practice. It could be even, you know, going out into a placement as a counselling student. But the fact is that you can leave a legacy, you know, and I think it does add up as well. But I think it's really important to say that it is just that step-by-step approach. And if you just keep going, you do actually have an impact.
Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams.
Hello! This will probably come as a bit of a surprise to you if you were expecting Josephine's voice. Welcome to the 100th episode of The Good Enough Counsellors. You probably won't know who I am because I'm behind the scenes most of the time, but I'm Natasha and I edit this podcast. I've been here from the very start, right when it was just a little seed of an idea, really, and then it kind of blossomed into what it is today. I've edited all 100 episodes. I've been there every step of the way, and it's been a real joy to see the podcast kind of expand and grow and to hear how people have really taken to the podcast. And it's made it a real joy to work on every day that I'm there in a dark room editing the audio. Obviously, I'm not the focus here today, so I'm joined by our very special guest on this episode, Josephine Hughes.
Woo! And as you can probably tell, anybody who's listening to this, I'm just recovering from a cough and a cold. So we've waited as long as possible to record this episode, haven't we?
It's going out quite soon after we're recording this.
And as you can probably tell when I'm coughing, I'm still recovering. So yeah, so Tash very kindly agreed to interview me for this episode because, you know, people have sort of suggested that sometimes it's quite interesting to hear about why someone might do what I'm doing, which is what we're going to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really interesting to think that, like, you know, so often 100 episodes is like kind of abstracted, you know, it's the big 100, it's the 300 digits. If you actually break that down, that's almost two lots of 52 episodes. So that's almost exactly 2 years of like almost like ceaseless kind of week by week episodes, which is, it's just, it doesn't feel like it's been that long. But here we are.
Yeah. I think it's sort of like I'm always saying to people, aren't I? You know, take things step by step. It's just one small step after another. And these small steps actually do add up, and they have added up. And we have actually put out an episode every single week, apart from this Christmas 2025, as it was, because Christmas Day and New Year's Day were on a Thursday. So we gave ourselves a break. But we are still... That did put us a bit behind, though, didn't
it? A little bit behind, but we're catching up quite well.
Yeah, I've got an interview in the bag, so you know, we are going to be a week ahead shortly.
Yeah, like you say about the small steps, I think like what's kind of spoke to me about this is kind of there was quite a lot of hesitation at the start, and we like kind of put it off for a little bit. You know, it was always a little bit further away than, you know, it was always the week after next.
Yes.
And I think it just speaks for how much, like, just going for it, just doing it has just really paid off.
Yeah, and it's funny, actually, because, you know, I work with Heather, my coach, who helps me with all the sort of planning and that sort of stuff, because I went to stay with her this time 2 years ago. I was with her in Geneva, and we went through everything that I'd got planned. And she just said to me, you know, you really haven't got time to launch this podcast. And we literally broke down everything I was doing and looked at it, and there just weren't enough hours in the day. And I said, I'm going to do it, because it just got to the point where I thought, no, it's got to start. And she still says to me, you know, you said you didn't have time to do it, but you still did it. And we did get done. I mean, having an editor helps, doesn't it?
It does, it does.
You know, some of those early episodes were rehashing existing content, weren't they? Yeah. But we did get it done, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And I think it speaks for how much, like, you can allow yourself to grow as you're doing something.
Yeah.
You didn't come into this as a polished podcaster,
no.
You know, and learning the craft, I think, has been kind of one of the most interesting parts, from my perspective, of the last 100 episodes, is seeing how those skills have come to you and, like, really... you've refined them in a way.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. Obviously, I've had a bit of help because I have got Colin, who's a very experienced podcaster, who helps me out now. He's a coach, and he's sort of helped me to think about polishing up certain aspects of it, which includes things like actually telling people what I do, because I think for the early podcasts, I think especially this is very true of us as therapists, is we sort of hope people know what we do by osmosis without actually telling them, no, this is the way that you get booked in with me. And so some of the work that Colin's done with me is, you know, you've got to tell people about Therapy Growth Group. You've got to include that section in the podcast. This is partly what you're doing it for. And in a sense, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice by not telling people so that they can find out about it. Because, you know, people do want to be able to work with you some more. And I think actually, Tash, you've made that point to me as well, haven't you? And while I haven't yet introduced a sort of like a Patreon level or something, you know, you've sort of said, I think people would like to say thank you and would like to give you something for the work that you do. And, you know, I'd be really interested to hear from people if listening to this, if that's the case. But I think... yeah, because, you know, obviously I do get quite a loyal following, and I am getting people who say, you know, I've listened to everything you've done and I've launched a successful practice, which is fantastic. Yeah. And I think sometimes people want to say thank you, actually. So,
It's funny because that bit of advice was given to me when I was at one of the International Women Podcasts Awards. Mm. I met this very stoic Russian woman who I pitched my podcast to and barely gave me any... when I was pitching it, I was like, oh my God, I'm this is awful. I'm doing terribly. But we got to the end and she was like, I love it. But then I was like, oh, the plan is to like do a first series and then maybe launch a Patreon or something. And she said to me, like, why? Do it now.
Yeah.
Like give people that opportunity to pay you. And I think that's so true of so many disciplines in life, is we do hold ourselves back. We always put it as the next thing that's going to happen. Yeah. It's always going to be the next step. And it's kind of just arbitrary. It doesn't actually you can just do it now.
I think that there's probably something in that for people who are thinking about, you know, should I go into private practice as well, because I think we can really hold ourselves back just through the confidence side of things and that thought of, well, will anybody pay me? And usually what I've found in working with people is when they start their private practice, you know, being able to tell people what they're doing and letting people know that they're available, there's usually someone who's been waiting who says, yeah, I'd love to work with you. And certainly that's what I found when I set up, you know, just telling a few people, yeah, I am a counsellor now. Oh, well, could you see XYZ? You know, it does start coming through. So I think a lot of it for people who are listening is actually, you know, talking about it and inviting people to actually work with you.
I think it's so easy to imagine what's the worst that could happen. But it's like, well, what's the best that could happen? Mm. You know, at the end of the day, like, what if it goes well? What if it works?
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy to overlook that part and focus on the other side.
Yeah, that's so true. And I was sort of telling you the other day as well, wasn't I, about how I went back, I was searching around for something and found some old notebooks from 2020. And it was saying in there, I was sort of working on my dreams. And I put in there, podcast, and this was in 2020, so it's before I'd done any podcasting at all. And I put, I'm going to do a podcast, not quite sure yet when it's going to be, but I think it'll be around 2022. And it's really funny because at that point I had no idea that I would end up doing this, and this being such a sort of regular thing, really, and it being so enjoyable and such a sort of important part of what I love to do in terms of my work.
I can tell, you know, you enjoy doing it so much. Mm. And it's always like, I mean, I do look forward to when the next episode's going to come. You know, I think we'll go on to that. But I think it's just clear the enthusiasm that kind of comes through from you, like always looking forward, always looking to the next one.
Yeah. I think there's just, once you get going as well, there's constantly things coming up as well where you're thinking, yeah, I could do an episode on this or I could do an episode on that. And I think for anybody who's listening, who's maybe thinking, well, I'd like to do something like this. I'm not sure, it might be a YouTube channel. It might be a TikTok channel. It could be a podcast. It could be a blog. It's amazing how, you know, once you get started, you just come across ideas all the time, especially if you're in contact with the people who form your audience, because there's a lot of questions and things that come up from the audience that you can start answering. So I've already got sort of in my head 3 or 4 episodes that I don't know if I'm going to do them yet, but you know, you sort of think, oh yeah, that needs doing and this needs doing. So it is actually, sometimes I think we can put ourselves off because we think, oh, I don't think I'm going to have enough to talk about. But in actual fact, once you get going, it's surprising what you can find. Yeah.
I think once you get going, it's astonishing where you see these things crop up from. It's, you know, it is such a, in a way, it's a couple of hours a week. But once you get going, these things will just, like, so many parts of your life, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that, I could talk about that. Yeah. I could... You know, and you think they'd be so unrelated, you know, to the world of therapy or whatever, but it just springs out of the ground, basically.
Yeah.
I did have a question, though, which I think listeners will be interested to hear the story of. Was there any kind of particular seed from which the podcast kind of grew out of, you know? How did it all kind of start?
That's an interesting question, because I think actually... I mean, it was almost quite pragmatic in terms of starting the podcast. The reason I started the podcast is I had a lot of material that I'd previously recorded on my live feeds. And I just thought, oh, I could repurpose that into a podcast. But in actual fact, I think what we found very quickly was that a live feed that had been designed for a different medium wasn't really what I wanted to put into the podcast. And I started to record my own podcast quite fresh, didn't I? But going back before that, and I have probably told this tale before, but prior to about 2017, I didn't really have very much of a voice in terms of what I was doing. I was working as a therapist, but I didn't do any social media as a therapist because I didn't really know what to talk about and I didn't really know how I could speak. And the thing that really changed it for me was, I mean, it was working with a coach and learning how to do video, which at that point was very new. When Facebook first introduced live videos, it was a really new thing. And I very quickly got onto that particular trend of video on Facebook. And then it was, I mean, the only reason I started putting the videos on YouTube is because at that point, Facebook didn't provide captions, but you could get them via YouTube. So I used to go through this really complicated approach of
downloading. I remember it being really complicated.
Yeah, downloading it to YouTube, getting YouTube to produce captions, downloading the YouTube captions and uploading them to Facebook, which now sounds absolutely ridiculous.
That's archaic.
Yeah, but it wasn't that long ago. It was only 2017. So, you know, 8 years ago. But that wasn't as important as the fact that what live feed gives you, which I think a lot of people worry about live feed, but it's actually really freeing, is that you don't have to prepare it. You can prepare it as much as you can, but actually all you're doing is you're just going on and speaking. And being able to do that and just talk. And also, because it was quite new, I had some really supportive people. So one of the people who really supported me, who I shall give a shout out here to, was Sandra Wilson from Online Events. And she basically sort of came on to virtually every live feed I did and watched it and commented on it. And I don't know why in particular, it just must have been, it just appeared in her feed. But she really sort of like encouraged me in those early days. And I think because I was sort of one of the only people who was willing to do that, I began to build an audience. And that's how it very quickly, you know, I started my Facebook group and that sort of stuff. So that was where it all started. And I think it was that freedom to just get going. And
Yeah.
Live feeds actually allow you to make mistakes, because nobody really expects it to be perfect because it's live.
Yeah.
And I think people think, oh, I can't possibly do a live feed because I'd make too many mistakes. But that's partly the point.
Yeah.
And I know...
And speaking as your editor, I think gives me the authority to say, like, you're not, like, the most techie person in the world, either. No. I think traditionally you'd think it was out of your kind of area of expertise, but you took to it, like, quickly, you know, and finding your way around Riverside, which is the software we use, you know, at this point, you use it all the time, basically.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I think there's a really important part of the story that we need to, a chapter that needs to be included, and that is Gloriously Unready.
And of that course, was, yes.
The really sort of interesting thing about that, you know, I had that idea back in 2020 that I was going to do a podcast. And then when I actually got asked, what would you do a podcast on? What would you write your book about? And I said it would be about my kids coming out as transgender. And that was quite a complicated subject to talk about.
It's hard to distill.
Yeah. And it was also, you know, I went on to TikTok just to sort of start experimenting. Had a post that went a bit viral where there were lots of transgender people saying, oh, you know, she's transphobic. Oh, my God. No, this is the last thing I want to get across. And consequently spoke to someone, a professional communicator, who said it'd be really good to get someone who could produce the podcast for you so that you get the message across that you want to get across, you know, to put it in context. And that's when I got Charlotte Foster on board. And Charlotte, being a professional journalist, was actually able to shape it into the story that we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And also Charlotte, being an experienced podcaster as well, just introduced me to all the tech, which was really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, that was where it all started. What would it have been, 2020?
I think that was 2022, 23. The last series of Gloriously Unready actually came out in 24. Because last year I couldn't face bringing anything out. It was too much with the Supreme Court ruling. But hopefully we'll have another series, but slightly with a different... It won't be under the Gloriously Unready name, but... with Transparent Action, I'm going to be bringing out a podcast with them.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will come soon. Listen out, folks.
Yeah. But of course, one of the other parts of the podcast that's kind of really taken up, because we didn't do it at the start, has been bringing on the guests for interviews. And we've had a real array of guests on. And speaking as someone who isn't in the therapy world, I'm in the audio world, but, you know, speaking as someone outside it, it's been absolutely astonishingly interesting to hear all these different perspectives on things I never would have, you know, thought about in my everyday other than that. And I think, you know, I wouldn't make you pick one because I think that would be unfair to everyone who's been on.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the guests we've had, is there any kind of stories from there that you think have really stood out to you, have really inspired you?
I think I always really enjoy talking to our practitioners. So just getting practitioners on board who share their stories of private practice. And I think one that was particularly stands out, that was very popular with people, because I think it really touches on what many of us feel working and being self-employed, was with Laura Knight talking about anxiety. And Laura just brought this lovely, calm sort of take on private practice. And because Laura works with anxiety, that's her specialism as well. So to sort of turn that around and look at private practice, I think was really helpful. And it's just been so interesting, I think, to hear from different people about the work that they do. And I think we both agree that Jeremy's episode on recovering male survivors of sexual assault was really powerful, wasn't it? I think that sort of impacted both of us, because it's such a tender subject, I think.
Yes.
So hard. And I think we're both very much touched by Jeremy's compassion for his sort of clients and the people he works with in group therapy. It's such a tender subject, and it's so unrecognised. I mean, it's like you say, it's really difficult to... You don't want to pull out anyone in particular, do you?
Because I think all of the guests have been... Every other week when I get given the guest interviews and I sit down and I get to think to myself, I wonder what it's going to be today.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the joy of the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And it's really expanded my mind, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's like the way I think about these things. you know, and I haven't studied any of this. It's fascinating.
Yeah. I'm having my mind blown at the moment because I'm sort of in a group working with lots of sort of queer therapists, and you know, I'm going to have to get someone on to talk about sort of working in that field and maybe working with kink and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite funny some of the stuff they're saying, and they're talking about things, and I think saying, well, this really shocked so and so, my mother-in-law, which came around to wherever, and I thought, yeah, I'd probably be one of those people who'd be really shocked. So I really need to get someone like that on the podcast.
Well, it's amazing how the horizons keep expanding.
Oh yeah,
you know, it really is just a rabbit hole that just keeps getting deeper, basically.
Yeah.
Again, for me, I'm outside it. I think how many guests can there be? How many can there be for therapy? But it turns out, obviously, the human experience is so varied, yeah, and the human experience is so expansive.
Yeah.
That there's always another niche. There's always another aspect of human life that you can find, yeah, to talk about, even through the lens of something like therapy.
Yeah, I think it's so true. And, you know, one of the things I am quite proud about doing is trying to bring more diversity in. And I don't know, there's still lots and lots of work that I need to do about this. But I was saying to Tim, I was saying about this conversation that I witnessed in this group, and I said, you know, and I just feel that I'm so sort of like, there's a whole side of life that I just got no idea about. And he said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you haven't, basically. And it's sort of like, yeah, it's really important to bring these different and diverse voices in, because like you say, it's part of everyday life for people. And I think it's really important,
yeah,
that we actually,
yeah,
you know, give space to people and allow people's voices to be heard. And in one of the episodes, we had Nicola Blunden came to talk about what was called epistemic injustice. And really what that's about is about allowing people's voices to be heard, in particular people who are marginalised. Their voices are ignored, their voices are downplayed. You know, it's almost like their voices are gaslit because they're not part of the sort of majority view. But that doesn't mean their voices aren't there. And I think it's really important, you know, we give people space for their voices to be heard. And it's one of the things that I'm sort of quite committed to in the podcast. And I know I haven't got it right yet. I know there's lots of people I haven't invited on yet. And some of it is getting to know people and the podcast,
yeah,
getting known as well, so that I can invite people on. And also, they've usually written books. And, you know, one of the costs of the podcast is I've got to get hold of the books and I've got to find the time to read them. And so, you know, sort of like trying to get through the books. And sometimes, yeah, I'm not the best with very academic tomes. It's all right if you said to me, write an essay, then I would read it. But, you know, bedtime reading of some sort of counselling text isn't the easiest for me. So that sometimes holds me back. But, you know, I really would like to get some more what I call thought leaders on, because,
yeah,
you know, I think podcasting can be a great way to reach lots of different people. And,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, recently I've been looking to see what other podcasts there are in the UK, you know, talking,
yes,
about,
yes,
therapy. And yes, there are some, but I think there's room for us, yeah, to have more discussion, really, and to introduce these concepts to people. So I'd like to see more of,
yeah,
that.
Because what you said there about the listeners and how podcasts reach different people, mm, is one of the really interesting parts. When I had my podcast running, I was always, one of my favourite parts was to look at where people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll be interested to see where the podcast has reached over 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you can guess what the top download country is.
Yeah, it's the UK, isn't it? But
pretty obvious. But I'm certain you wouldn't guess what number two is.
Is it US or?
No, US is number three.
Oh, go on. So is it Australia or?
Oh, it's actually Singapore with second most listeners. Who would have guessed? And I mean, it's amazing, you know, where you can see that you're reaching people.
Mm.
You know, you are reaching the US.
Mm.
You are, hello to our listeners in the United States,
mm-hmm,
and Canada.
Yeah.
But there's downloads in South Africa, in Nigeria.
Yeah.
as far as Pakistan, 4 downloads in Japan. So you've really made it.
You know, the funny thing is, I want to tell us a little story here, actually, which some people might find a bit fanciful. But one of the people who I've got in Therapy Growth Group, and I might get her onto the podcast, is Tamsin Young, who's, believe it or not, an accountant in Australia. But what Tamsin does is she not only deals with the sort of the numbers side of accountancy, she works with women, with money. And I remember it is many years ago now, doing some work with Tamsin. It must have been pre-pandemic. And we did a meditation together. And part of the meditation was Tamsin saying, you know, there's all over the world, there's stars appearing, little lights appearing. And that's the impact you're having on people across the world.
So true.
And it is actually, that's come to pass. And I know that sounds fanciful, but it's actually a really lovely thing to think that what I'm doing is having an impact. And if it is helping therapists, perhaps in areas where therapy isn't as well known about, I mean, if you sort of think about something like, say, Jeremy's episode going out there, it's such important work and it's so unrecognised that men may suffer trauma from sexual abuse as well. That message needs to go out across the world. And, you know, I've enabled that message to go out there. And, you know, equally, you know, thinking about Josh Fletcher's message, which is, and how does that make you feel? And it's very much about therapists' self-doubts. And you think, that's such an encouraging thing for so many therapists to hear about.
It's so universal. Yeah. It's so universal, you think. Like, how much of these will be specific, like we touched on, like, will be niche? Mm-hmm. But then how many of them will just be, like, all therapists go through this, I'm certain, you know?
I would say probably everybody apart from the ones who are psychopaths. I think everybody has some.
Shout out to our psychopath listeners.
Oh dear. I don't think we can finish before we give your podcast a shout out as well.
I don't know how much overlap there's going to be, but in case you need a podcast to kind of dwell on the way things are or the way things might be, I have a podcast called The Lost Sun Society. It's a fiction podcast, so it's a story, and it's me telling you about the end of the world. So it's very cheery listening, actually. No, I joke, but it's fairly hopeful. It is a story about hope. And I think using that as a kind of jumping off point to come back round again, I think one of the things I take away listening to the podcast, because I don't think of myself as a listener of the podcast. Yeah. I think of myself as the editor. Yeah. But then there are times when I've sat down and I've listened to all 100 episodes.
Yes.
Via osmosis. Yeah. But as someone who listens, I think one of the takeaways from the podcast is that kind of have hope in yourself in a way, have hope in your ability to do these things, trust that you can do it.
And I did want to, I don't know if you'll remember what you said, but I thought I've always remembered what you said, which was when the first time we met after you'd listened to the first series of Gloriously Unready. I don't know if you can you remember what you said to me that time.
Not even slightly.
No, it's like, oh, that's such a shame. Because we were sitting in the pub together and Tash said to me, I've listened to it. She said, and I feel as though this is something that you've wanted, a story you've wanted to tell for a long time. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there may have been a sort of element of you saying, you know, you've told your story now. You've got that legacy of a story that's out there. Which I was, you know, I'm very proud that, and I did have help, you know, it was a beautiful podcast. And I do think that is in large part to the skill of editing, you know, it all worked together, the story and the way Charlotte brought it together. And I know it sort of has touched many people's lives, but I think that's an important thing that I'd like listeners to think about, in that, you know, you embark on something like this. It doesn't have to be podcasting. It could be private practice. It could be even, you know, going out into a placement as a counselling student. But the fact is that you can leave a legacy.
You're treading a path as you go, and you can't know the size or scale of it in that moment, but it's happening.
Yeah, you know, and I think it does add up as well over time. And I think a lot of people, it sounds odd, but a lot of people look up to me and look up to what I've done. But I think it's really important to say that it is just that step-by-step approach. And it adds up over time. It's as simple as that. And if you just keep going, you do actually have an impact. You know, what you were saying about your podcast, you know, giving hope, that's what I would hope that this podcast does as well, in that it gives people hope and helps them to think that they can do it, which is what I do really believe, that people can do it. We're so much more capable than we realise.
Yeah.
We really are.
I think as well, bringing it back to the guests as well, when you bring your guests on, they're incredible people. So interesting. You could talk with them for hours. I think it's funny because I always wait for the bit at the end of the episode where you say, I could talk about this for hours, because it happens every time. Yeah. And so the guests are incredible, but they're so ordinary as well. We're all so ordinary doing this. And it really just shows, like, it's there in ordinary people, you know, that power to have that impact on people.
Yeah.
It's all in just in the people you see every day around you.
Yeah, I think it's very true. You know? And Kate Cocker, who does the podcast Everyday Positivity, it was Kate who said to me, I think you need to get a producer in to help you with Gloriously Unready. And one of the podcasts I've listened to that Kate's talked about that's really stayed with me is she said, you know, in the world at the moment, there's so much stuff going on. She said, we forget to look at the ordinary people who are doing so much. And I think it's so important for us to hold on to this at this time where there's so much turmoil going on in the world that, you know, just ordinary people doing their stuff does make a difference. And we've just got to keep doing it. And we may not feel as though we're making very much difference on the world stage, but there's more of us who can do good than there are the sort of few megalomaniacs around in the world. And I think it's really important to hold on to that, and especially in our counselling world. You know, counsellors are people who do such extraordinary work. And sometimes it feels heartbreaking because you sort of think, oh, how can I make a difference to somebody? And they've been through such pain or whatever. But, you know, we just keep turning up for them and keep turning up, and that may well make a difference to them. And I think we've just got to keep doing that. Yeah,
that's really, it's really moving, honestly. It's the hardship and joy of life is how difficult it is and how much effort it takes. But the fact that we can put that effort in and we can tackle that hardship. Mm.
And it gives us a purpose and a meaning to get up every day, I think. So,
yeah. Wow, that's quite a large kind of philosophical point to end on.
And one more point, which I'd like to make as well, which is that we all bring what we can do. So, like, you know, one of the things that you bring is your skill with audio editing. And that makes a contribution, doesn't it? And I might bring a skill with blathering on about stuff. And then we've got counsellors who bring a skill of listening. We play to our different strengths. And then we have the accountants who help us with that sort of stuff, you know, and the money.
Yeah.
But everybody can bring their own skill and the stuff they're good at and make a difference.
Wow, I think we've just about had time. Yeah. And it's time for me to retreat into a dark hole to edit this, to get out of the spotlight.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've done my part. Yeah. But who knows, maybe I'll be back for episode 200.
Yeah, it'll come round maybe quicker than we think.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah. It's a joy to edit, as always, and to spend a couple of minutes in the limelight. Yeah. So we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Next week.
Yeah, next week we've got a lovely interview with Claire Hendrickson, who is an AUDHD therapist, who's talking about how she's got started in her private practice. So I'm looking forward to sharing that one.
Well, thank you to our listeners for listening. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks for being here, Tash. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.